It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Tuesday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on this, the 27th day of March. It says spring on the calendar, but boy, I tell you what, so much for the global warming stuff. I was in Greensboro, North Carolina on the weekend, and when I get up to start driving home to our home base here in Tupelo on Sunday morning, I had a scrape of about 3 inches of snow off my car. But by the time I got to Birmingham, Alabama, it was 81 degrees. So, hey, listen, it is that time of the year. But I tell you what, it has been a cool, and if you live up in that northeast quadrant of the country, especially, and across the north, it's been a snowy winter, too. A tough time, and I'm sure the dear folks who live up in the northeast are ready for some of that global warming right now and get into the spring. Hey, listen, good to be with you this morning. A busy news morning. Got a very special guest coming up in a few moments. One of our seminary presidents. They're starting a brand new course at this seminary that may surprise you. They feel a real need to educate pastors and teachers about the economy. How about that? So we'll find out what that's all about, because you don't hear too many sermons on the economy these days from our pulpit, so stay tuned for that. Hey, listen, up to 14 countries now are participating in the expulsion of Russian diplomats. All of this because the Russians have been fingered in poisoning some of their ex-spies in Britain, and countries like the United States feel enough is enough. So there are a lot of countries that have gathered together on this. And so far, we've expelled from the United States 60 of these diplomats. I think they've been given 7 days to get out of town. And the Russians, of course, we know will respond to all of this. Now, yesterday, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, was questioned about all of this and the necessity. Indeed, I don't know why there would have been any debate about this, of sending a signal to the Russians that this kind of behavior is not acceptable. Here's Nikki Haley.
I think you're seeing an increasingly move of bad judgment by Russia. And when we see these espionage tactics that are taking place right here at the heart of the UN, we can't have that. And this is really not just us, but multiple countries saying all of these actions have to stop. This is not what we do in any other place, and it can't be acceptable for you to do this. Unfortunately, Russia is now being held accountable for a lot of things, and they have a decision to make.
All right, there you have it. Now, you may have heard in the announcement yesterday about the expulsion of these 60 diplomats from the United States that also the United States has ordered the shutdown of the Russian consulate in Seattle. Now, in the initial stories, it wasn't explained as to why, and I was a little puzzled by this too. But it turns out there's a very good reason for shutting down that particular consulate, because it's very close to a U.S. Navy submarine base that has a huge, some say the largest nuclear arsenal in the U.S. Navy. And when I read this last night and this morning, I wondered to who made the decision to put the Russian consulate next door, basically, to one of our, what should be one of the most high-level, high-security Navy bases. And as I say, one report says the largest nuclear arsenal that the Navy has. Now, come on, folks. You don't have to watch the movies to understand that these consulate members, the 60 consulate members, are not just there to push paperwork and to give visas for people who want to go visit Moscow on vacation. All right. They're there. They have double duty, and their primary duty is to watch what the United States, everybody knows this. And I mean, we have American people living in Moscow, a lot of them doing the same thing. So let's, but when I read this about the Russian consulate in Seattle, that to me was one of the most shocking things. Okay, you can have your consulate on the West Coast. I understand that. But to put it very close, as these reports are saying, very close to this huge Navy submarine base with, and I'm just reading from a story here, in its rationale for closure, the White House specifically cited the Seattle consulate's proximity to the Kitsap-Bangor submarine base and facilities belonging to major defense contractor Boeing. All right? So, you know, one has to, you know, can imagine, you know, the Russian consulate people when this was being set up saying, this would be a good place to put our consulate. You know, our folks can figure out what's going on here and observe some of our most sophisticated submarines, not to mention Boeing, which along with making Boeing passenger airplanes, folks, makes a whole pile of military stuff, including weaponry. So I don't know. Sometimes, like I said, I'm just a civilian. But when I read that this morning, I just left my head shaking. What in the world are we doing when we put a consulate that close to one of our major, major, major military facilities? It should have been shut down a whole long time ago. Now, we had 8 years of President Barack Obama, so it doesn't really surprise me that we didn't shut it down during that period. But even for President Trump to wait for this particular incident to shut down that consulate, I'm not sure where people's heads are sometimes. All right, moving on to our next story. In Orange County, California, there's going to be a meeting today of the supervisors in that county. It's an all-Republican supervisors that run the county. Orange County, reputation being one of the most conservative areas in the country. That's been its reputation for years. This is Ronald Reagan country there. They are going to meet this afternoon to consider fighting the state's sanctuary law. Now, if you're not familiar with that, California now has a law in place that basically, by the authority of the legislature, they have a law now that tells communities in California, you must not, under penalty of law, help the federal government when they come in looking for people who are in this country illegally. That's the laws in California. And I mean, there are going to be penalties for cities, for, let's say, county sheriffs, et cetera, police departments. You will remember the incident back a couple of weeks ago of the mayor of Oakland, California, who tipped off publicly her community that the feds were moving in. ICE was moving in. They were after hundreds of people who were in the Oakland, California area. They are illegal immigrants, but on top of that, they've committed other crimes. She tipped them off, these illegals. And there's a lawsuit pending now against not only the possibility of lawsuit against the mayor of Oakland specifically, but also the state of California. So what's happening is that Orange County, which has about 3 million people right now, has voted mostly Republican through the years. They are considering a legislation that would counter the laws. And some people are reasoning, okay, and here's the reasoning. If California believes it has the right to defy what is federal jurisdiction with regards to picking up people who have entered this country illegally, that is a federal mandate, a national security region law. If the state of California believes it can defy the feds, why can't cities, counties in California do the same thing? So what Orange County is considering doing is joining the lawsuit of the federal government on this. Now, this morning on Fox and Friends, Steve Ducey, of one of the Fox and Friends hosts, spoke with Supervisor Sean Nelson to get a little bit more details on what they're planning to do this afternoon.
Your state, now a sanctuary state where localities do not cooperate with ICE. What are you going to do today regarding Orange County and that status?
Two things. One is just a resolution, which, of course, isn't going to accomplish anything but a sort of a statement. But the other action hopefully will be when we go into closed session to choose to join litigation brought by the Department of Justice to basically enjoin the state holding our law enforcement officials to these laws.
Right. Ultimately, you and other like-minded people on your board feel that sanctuary status is unconstitutional.
Well, it is unconstitutional. I mean, I realize there are a lot of states that don't care to live by certain rules in the federal government or the Constitution if they disagree with it. Last I checked, it's not optional, even if you don't like the outcome. And it puts our law enforcement personnel in a very awkward spot. They have to uphold the Constitution and the law. They swear to do that. Mm-hmm. I swore to do that when I took the oath. And California has decided to poke the president and his administration in the eye, and I'd rather they just not involve us.
Well, there you have it. You know, it's one of those things that, and this issue is 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, people would have just shook their head. This is a no-brainer. People have entered the country illegally. Our authorities ought to have the right to arrest them and deport them. But we have decided that for some reason this is unfair, and even some in the Christian community say it's unloving. You know, God created nations. The Bible teaches that. God created nations. And nations have to have borders. That's what defines a nation. One of the things that defines a nation is a border. Why? Okay, if you don't have a problem with millions of people entering this country illegally, and on top of that, then a lot of them living off the government, i.e., you and me, the taxpayer of this country. There is a reason for all of this, a logical reason why we have these laws. And now you have in the state of California, and California is not the only place. We know Chicago, New York, they're all sanctuary cities. But the taxpayers are expected to foot the bill, not to mention the fact that many of these people who are in this country illegally commit other crimes. We're well aware of that. But listen to this. A staff attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union of Southern California, his name is Zamir Ahmed, said some cities appear to be discussing largely political resolutions, not local laws like Los Alamitos. That's a small California community that voted last week to do something about this, to defy the California law. But the idea that Orange County would consider taking such a stand is concerning to immigrant advocates. Now, this is another thing. This is a little lesson in the way journalism is going folks, is they never call them illegal immigrants or illegals. It's immigrant advocates. We're not talking about legal immigrants here. We're talking about illegals. So this is what Zamir Ahmed went on to say. Quote, "We definitely think it is wrong and offensive as well that these cities and the county are saying they would rather further the anti-immigrant agenda of the Trump administration than protect the rights of their own immigrant residents." Hey, listen, that ought to send alarm bells. You ought to shiver at that kind of reasoning, folks. It's not targeting immigrants, people who have green cards who have entered this country legally. They are targeting people who have broken the law to get in here and continue to break the law and live off the taxpayers' largesse. All right. Ongoing. We'll be back in just a few moments. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in. Much more news ahead right after this break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Well, our June Spiritual Heritage Tour is full, and our September trip is filling up fast. So if you want to go with us to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon for our Spiritual Heritage Tour, you need to sign up soon. We're going to be seeing lots and lots of sites, including the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials, the Korean and Vietnam Memorials, the Arlington National Cemetery, and much, much more. For all the information on this tour, September the 19th through the 22nd, please go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. And we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. That's a separate trip, but we put them back to back in case you want to do both of those tours. Again, that's in September. For more information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
We're so thankful for how God is using American Family Radio. Please consider partnering with us during our three-day Share-a-thon beginning April 17th.
My name is Camille. AFR has touched me. One morning I was having a very rough morning getting going, and I said, I need some Jesus. So I turned on AFR, and the very first thing I heard was Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Hi, Janet Mefford here of Janet Mefford Live. I'm amazed at how God is using American Family Radio in the lives of our listeners. That's why I'm excited to ask you to partner with us during our three-day Share-a-thon starting April 17th. Thanks, and God bless.
I love you all. You do a wonderful work for God. Thank you so much.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
It would be a mistake to ignore the hundreds of thousands of teenagers who marched in the streets to protest the Second Amendment, teenagers who have been weaponized by the mainstream media and the anti-gun crowd. These young people and their leaders pose a clear and present danger to the Constitution, and I have no doubt this is just the beginning of a long-term fight to destroy the Second Amendment. David Hogg, one of the self-appointed teen leaders, said as much on ABC News.
We are the children. We are making our voices heard, and we will change America with or without these politicians. And today is the beginning of that revolution.
It does not matter that what happened in Florida had nothing to do with the NRA or gun laws. This is about a nationwide gun grab. This is about demonizing law-abiding gun owners. And this is what happens when public schools are weaponized by the far left. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Well, you know, many times when you want to learn about the economy, you think about going to schools getting, you know, economics 101 course. I remember doing that many, many years ago. But also, you know, today, the economy touches us all. We know that. So I found it rather interesting when I read a press release back a couple of weeks ago that a seminary is now going to offer a course on philosophy, politics, and economics. Why the need for this? Well, to answer that is the president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, where this course is going to be offered, Dr. Richard Land, good friend of ours here at American Family Radio. Dr. Land, welcome to the program this morning.
Well, thank you. Now, I'm teaching one course. We've started a concentration.
Uh-huh.
It's a cluster of six courses that students who are coming to the seminary or who want just this concentration can have, talking about philosophy, politics, and economics. And the course I'm teaching is on Christian ethics and public policy.
Okay.
But we have professors who are trained in economics and who are trained in philosophy who are going to be teaching courses as well. This PPE concentration is a very famous one, started by Oxford University back early in the last century. Mm-hmm. And many of the prime ministers of Great Britain and other significant politicians studied PPE. And we thought that it was time for us to provide this opportunity for people to think Christianly about philosophy and economics and politics. I'm a firm believer in Francis Schaeffer's old adage that truth is truth with a capital T, and it's true 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That means that biblical truth with a capital T has something to say about politics, about economics, about what systems work and what systems don't, based on the biblical revelation about the nature of man.
You know, we may have some pastors, Dr. Land, listening this morning who say, well, I'm not going to preach a sermon on politics. I'm not going to preach a sermon on the economy. That's not the place in the pulpit. But it would seem that this course is aimed at pastors and others in the church, full-time pastors, and you feel that there's a need for them to get up on this and that the congregation needs to know where the Bible stands on these issues.
Well, first of all, I was head of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention for 25 years, and yet 90% of the time when I preached from the pulpit, I did not preach on economic subjects or on issues that were in public policy. I was talking about what the Bible has to say about the nature of life, which does touch on the abortion issue, mm-hmm. which does touch on euthanasia, what the Bible has to say about the nature of man. And what the Bible says about the nature of man is absolutely critical to getting economics right. Let's give you an example. When I went to Oxford, I had a student say he wanted to sign me up for the Oxford Socialist Club. And I said, well, why would you think I'd want to be a member of that? He said, well, you're a minister. If you're a minister, you have to be a socialist. And I said, well, it seems to me that if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you can't be a socialist. And he looked at me with astonishment. And I said, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I said, if that's true, then socialism will never work. Because socialism is based upon the false premise that man is either basically good or neutral. The Bible tells us that he is not neutral, he's not good, he's born with a nature that is sinful, and he is born into an environment that is inclined towards sin. And as G.K. Chesterton once said, the most demonstrably true biblical doctrine is the doctrine of the fallenness of man.
You know, Dr. Land, looking at over the last several years when we see the way, and I'm speaking in broad terms, Christianity is going, it seems sometimes that you have a lot of denominations in this country today, pastors from pulpits, who actually preach socialism. Now, they may dress it up as calling Christian socialism, and they try to use Bible verses, helping the poor, et cetera, to justify that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that kind of flies in the face of what you just told us.
Well, yes, it does. And that's what we need to help our people to understand. But the pastors have to understand it first before they can teach their people. The idea that we're to help the poor, yes, that's true for Christians. It's true for the church. But when you start taxation, it's not voluntary. And so when you start reaching into other people's pockets and use the government power to say, I'm going to take your money and give it to somebody else, because the Bible says that I'm supposed to do so. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that as Christians and as churches, we are to help the poor and we are to be compassionate. Just give you one example. If somebody kills my wife, I have a Christian obligation to forgive that person. But I also have the right to expect the civil magistrate, which Romans 13 tells us was ordained to punish evil and to reward the good, to punish that person to the fullest extent of the law.
Hmm. You know, today, maybe given the climate that we have, and I know you're aware of this, we're talking with Dr. Richard Land, president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary. There's a divide even in the evangelical community today, and part of this course is teaching about politics, as we've just mentioned. There's a divide in the evangelical community over should Christians be involved with politics, that politics, and I'm quoting here, politics is not the answer, these people say, and that don't put your trust in politicians, you know, focus on evangelism and let the world, the secular world, look after politics. I think that's a very deadly philosophy to be putting out there today.
Well, it's not only deadly, it's unbiblical. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus turns to his disciples, the Christians, and he says, you are to be the salt of the earth, and you are to be the light of the world. Well, salt is a preservative. It stops decay. It stops rot. Salt is disinfectant. Jesus is calling us to be a moral disinfectant in the world. And that means if we're going to be a disinfectant and we're going to be a preservative, we have to touch that which we're going to preserve. We have to touch that which we're going to disinfect, because salt has to come into contact before it can make it can be salt. And that means that we are to try to stop abortion, stop the killing of unborn babies, stop the injustices in the world through having government that is better than it would be otherwise. Now, we're also to be light. We're to penetrate the darkness. We're to illuminate the gloom. And Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That means we've got to be close enough to the world they can see the light and feel the heat. Now, quite simply, every major social evil in American history that has been substantially alleviated has happened because people of Christian faith got involved in the public policy and political process and insisted that that evil stop. The anti-slavery movement was led by Christians, North and South. The three-time president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Richard Fuller, was one of the founders of the American Colonization Society, which was back in the 1830s, which was a society to free slaves and to send them to colonies either in the West or back to Africa. Just look at the Civil Rights Movement, led by people of faith, led by ministers like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And so the idea that we, when we're Christians, we can just avoid the temporal issues and just sort of go into a spiritual holding pattern until it's time to go up and be with Jesus is as unbiblical as it can be.
All right. Let's say I sign up for this course, Dr. Land, Philosophy, Politics, and Economics at Southern Evangelical Seminary. So let's deal with a couple of the big political issues going on in our country right now, all right? Let's deal first with gun control. We had hundreds of thousands of kids marching in the streets, Washington, D.C., across the country. Where does the Bible intersect? And we know it intersects gun control with politics. How does the Bible intersect with that issue? What's the biblical approach to the great debate going on in this country right now over gun control?
Well, I would start with Romans 13, where the government says that God ordained the civil magistrate to punish those who do evil and to reward those who do that which is right, and we are to be subject to the civil authority for conscience' sake. We're to support the government in doing those things. Now, that means that we hold people accountable for evil doing. It also means that we hold our government accountable for being responsible. And in the case of the Florida shooting, there were massive failures on the part of government authorities, massive failures of responsibility in terms of the school authorities and the police authorities and the civil authorities in the county where the shooting took place. That shooter sent up more red flags than there used to be on May Day in the communist parades in Moscow. This guy should have already been involuntarily placed into custodial care because of massive indicators that he was a ticking bomb waiting to go off and was mentally unbalanced. And you know, it goes right on through the four policemen standing outside the school while the shots were still being fired inside. Massive failure of civil authority. Now, he also, if they had done their job, he would never have been able to purchase a weapon of any kind anyway. And no one's talking about, you know, they say, oh, you know, we're going to ban guns. The government's going to save us. The government is the chief failure in this situation. And so I'd start with that. And then I would say, you know, the American people have the right to keep and bear arms. But we have the right to say that if you have demonstrated certain dangerous tendencies or you have broken laws to the extent that you've been incarcerated, that you are on parole, that you're on probation, that you do not have the right to have a firearm. And when people use firearms, they are to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Mm. All right. We only got a few minutes left, but the other big political issue going on in this country right now, one of the big ones, is illegal immigration. What is the biblical perspective on illegal immigration?
Well, let me just give you, it's a good example of the difference between the responsibilities of Christians and the responsibility of the government. Mm-hmm. The government is there to enforce the law. And they have an obligation and a responsibility to enforce the law. And one of the biggest problems we have with our immigration situation in the United States is that for the last half century, the American government has not enforced the law. We have encouraged and aided and abetted lawbreaking. We've had two signs up at the border. One sign says, no trespassing. The other sign says, help wanted. And we have not prosecuted, we have not enforced the law. And we need to insist, we believe in the rule of law. The laws need to be enforced. If they're bad laws, they need to be changed through the democratic process. You don't just ignore them. But let's say that someone comes to my door and they are asking for some food or they're asking for some water. It's not my responsibility to inquire into their immigration status before I give them a glass of water, and before I give them food. I'm commanded to help those who are hungry and those who are thirsty as a Christian, not as a government, but as a Christian. That doesn't mean I'm approving of their status. It's not my responsibility to inquire about their status. It's my responsibility to give them water, to give them food. And it's also my responsibility to insist as a citizen that my government enforce the law.
Fascinating. New course at the Southern Evangelical Seminary. It's called Philosophy, Politics, and Economics. Dr. Richard Land's the president there. You got many people signing up for it?
We do. We're just starting the course, but we do. And if people want to know more information about this concentration that we have, which is a cluster of six courses. They can take one, or they can take two, or they can take three, or if they want to get a certificate for this concentration, they can take all six of the courses. Go to ses.edu.
All right. Dr. Richard Land, president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, thanks so much for joining us. Fascinating.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right. We'd like to hear from you folks. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Just heard Dr. Richard Land saying the Bible has much to say about how we are to be concerned about economic priorities, about illegal immigration, about gun control. You agree? 888-589-8840. A Christian perspective on the major news stories, the political decisions being made today. 888-589-8840. The number to call. Much more ahead here. Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred sitting in. We're back right after the break.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The House of Representatives passed a measure criminalizing late-term abortion. That legislation is now in the Senate where they've done absolutely nothing. You see, there's this little extra-constitutional Senate rule called the filibuster, and it requires 60 senators to agree to allow a bill to come to the Senate floor for debate. Republicans, since they have a majority, could change that if they wanted to. Pro-life rhetoric with pro-death inaction. What's it mean to be pro-life nowadays?
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
Women and men alike find themselves in despair after an abortion. Every woman who had an abortion was for a short time a mother, every man a father. But afterwards, they're all people in pain, anger, sadness, relationship problems. These often accompany an abortion. But there is hope. Call 866-482-LIFE. Your call is confidential, and you'll be talking with someone who has already been where you are and found the way out. 866-482-LIFE.
Sheila from Tennessee attended one of the town hall meetings hosted by Dan Celia. She left thinking about different ways to handle her finances.
Dan Celia spoke a lot about tithing and being faithful to the Lord, and I definitely intend on getting in on this charitable gift annuity, which I've never done, but it sounds so exciting. Listening to him in there, it made me reevaluate my way of spending money, my way of doing, and it shows you that a little bit can go a long way when you place it in the Master's hands. So what we need to do, and what I intend on doing, is taking the little bit and making it be worth much for the Lord.
Find out if a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation is right for you at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, the United States joined the United Kingdom and 20 other allied nations in expelling purported Russian diplomats. This action has been portrayed as a demonstration of solidarity with Britain after Vladimir Putin's regime used military nerve agent to try to kill a turncoat and his daughter there. Actually, it's a long-overdue counterintelligence measure made necessary by Russia's espionage operations in this country, said to be even more aggressive than during the height of the Cold War. The question is, how many more Russian spies remain? Of particular concern are so-called illegals, like those who had penetrated the political machines of Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer and were sent packing in 2010 before they could be properly interrogated. As a career spy himself, you can bet Putin will keep his comrades at it in this country. Roll them up. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And we are back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred sitting in for Sandy. Interesting discussion with Dr. Richard Land. You know, we're talking about the major kind of issues going on in the country right now. You've got gun control being debated. You've got illegal immigration and so much more. Really what it is, folks, it is a clash that's going on because President Donald Trump is so different than President Barack Obama, 8 years of Barack Obama. It is a clash. You may say, well, it's a political clash, but it's really driven, I believe, by, as Dr. Richard Land was pointing out, biblical principles. Now, if you think that the former president, Barack Obama, is through being in the public eye. Think again. And he has, and this is not breaking news, he has a bit of an ego. And that was sure on display. A few days ago, he's been in Japan. And this is what he said in an open forum about what the United States and probably the world, according to Barack Obama, really needs.
So we set up young leaders programs, first in Africa, then in Southeast Asia, where we would bring these young leaders in various fields together so that they could learn from each other. We could give them the tools to expand the work that they were doing. We could publicize their efforts and promote it. And after I left office, what I realized is that the Obama Foundation could potentially create a platform for young, up-and-coming leaders, both in the United States, but all around the world, to come together, meet together, create a digital platform where they could exchange information on an ongoing basis about projects that they were working on. And that if I could do that effectively, then, you know, I would create 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 young Barack Obamas or Michelle Obamas or, you know, the next group of people who could take that baton in that relay race that is human progress.
Oh, boy. The former president wants to clone himself 1,000,000 times, Rob, our producer.
Wow.
One was enough,
yeah,
for most of us. But how about 1,000,000? But it's very, we joke about it, but it's very serious.
Yes.
President Barack Obama certainly demonstrated during his 8 years in office that he is a left-wing socialist big government. And when he talks about the Obama Foundation and other things, he's really talking about another avenue of indoctrination into extreme socialism, Marxism.
Yes.
That's what he's talking about.
It's really a scary situation, and what he's promoting is far from democracy.
And goes to the heart of the clash that we're seeing right now. When President Donald Trump was elected, now he was very honest on the campaign trail about what he was going to do and basically turn around the country back towards capitalism, back towards individual responsibility. That's what makes this course that's starting at Southern Evangelical Seminary so interesting, and why we wanted to talk to Dr. Richard Land. This cross, this biblical cross, dealing with philosophy, politics, and economics. The Bible does, as Dr. Richard Land told us, the Bible does have a lot to say about these things. And the problem is we're bringing a generation of young people along that don't make that reference back to Scripture to guide them in these decisions. And so if there's biblical ignorance out there, then you're not aware of the things that Dr. Richard Land just told us, that the Bible does have things to say about gun control.
Mm-hmm.
It does have things to say about the issue of illegal immigration. The problem is that our churches, and many times at least some of our pastors, are departing from that.
Right.
And the congregation is sitting there and accepting what the pastor says instead of being Bereans and going to see what the Bible says.
We've lost our family unit. We've lost God in family. We've lost God in the schools. And the church is not stepping up to fill the void that's being left in the families due to lack of parental leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And schools have outlawed God.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Parents have to speak up.
Parents have to speak
Not
up.
Not just the pastor's responsibility,
yeah. No.
But Christian parents
exactly.
have to get involved.
Exactly.
And they're being discouraged against that many times. All right, let's go to our phones. 888-589-8840. Your turn to sound off. Let's go to Adam in Arkansas. Good morning, Adam.
Morning. I'm sorry, I got to make it quick because I got to get to work, but I got 2 points that I wanted to say and share with you. One, I I really like his concept of the courses that he's taken, the philosophy, politics, and economics. But if people could start equivalating government to a gun, because both of them are tools, and that they need to be used in the right way, and if they're used in the wrong hands, they can go in the wrong direction or used in the bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, the philosophy for the youth, and the way that I try to articulate what's in my mind when I try to explain to people around me is the allegory of the cave. If you remember that one, and the way I describe that is, if you were born and raised in a cave and that's your whole world, and only thing there to keep you company was the shadows dancing on the walls,
mm-hmm.
and I come down in that cave and I grab you by the wrist and I take you out and I show you the grass, the trees, the skies, the clouds,
mm-hmm.
I just wrecked your reality. All right. And you're uncomfortable and you try to go back down in the cave, and you, instead of the shadows dancing on the walls, you see all the people that's all around you.
Mm-hmm.
You just have a higher view of what's really going on in the world.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to wake people up to see that. And so that's when you use philosophy, is to paint and articulate what's going on the best you can to describe it to them in their own language.
Yeah. Well, I think, Adam, I appreciate your comments. It comes down to, it starts in the home. It starts with parents taking the time and dedication that they need to start teaching their children from a biblical perspective on these issues. Because you're going to send those kids out into an education system that's very hostile to Christianity, that mocks the Bible, and they watch television news programs that mock the Bible, that are very anti-Christian. And then it falls with parents doing the best job they can, and then falls to the church to backing up the parents on this. As long as the pastor has in his heart a conviction that his congregation needs to hear what the Bible says about these major issues of the day. It's thought that people today are less knowledgeable, less intelligent than what people used to be. It's just that there are so many different streams of opinions today, and we are bowing the knee to the opinions, the politically correct opinions, instead of to the Word of God. Shirley in Tennessee, good morning, and welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just, two quick points. Number one, I wanted to say that if you look at the group that marched to get rid of guns, it's very interesting that that very group is the group that voted for Obama when you look back, because they were mostly young white women and some white men, but mostly young white women and misguided African Americans, one of which I am, but I did not vote for Obama, and foreigners who voted for their own interests, all of which voted for Barabbas, the murderer, a.k.a. Barack Obama, who said he believed in abortion, rather than voting for Jesus and standing with the principles of the Lord and standing against this tendency to murder. And I believe, lastly, that we need a million or more man and woman march for guns, instead of to counter this, since our legislatures and representatives have turned their backs on us.
Shirley, I appreciate your comments, and you're exactly right. We need people to stand up. And I alluded to this in the interview with Dr. Richard Land today. Parents just don't see the priority in guiding, first of all, educating themselves on the issues. Parents have to have a biblical conviction in order to share that biblical conviction with their kids. But too often today, conference I was attending on the weekend, and a couple of speakers alluded to this, today, sadly, even in Christian homes, we're turning our kids over to PlayStation and video games because we're too busy to do it. And kids as young as 8 years old are getting addicted to these games. And these games, and we're short of time this morning, we could go into details on what these games are teaching these kids. And so that, you know, 90% of the information that they're exposed to is anti-biblical. And if parents abdicate their responsibility, and then the church on top of that is not doing what it should be doing, that's why we have a generation of kids, young people today. If you want to know why there were hundreds of thousands in the streets, they're not being told the truth. They're being indoctrinated from the left, from the anti-biblical side of things. And parents have got to get themselves in gear and take their responsibilities, their God-given, God-instructed, God-ordered responsibilities. Raise them up in the way that they should go. Credible responsibility. We have a problem with a generation today of parents who are not doing that. Keith in Michigan, good morning, sir. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say a couple of things. One is no ordinary person in America has a constitutional right to police protection. So for us to claim that, hey, the police failed, legally they don't have to go in to protect us. There are three court rulings in 1980s that stated so. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can say all we can to say we got to have our police to go in. They don't legally have to help and protect us. The other thing about gun control is it actually kills people. I mean, if you look at the people who actually violated and killed over 57 million people last century, mm-hmm. it was mostly by the government. Actually, it was all by the government. If you look at the Ottoman, the Nazis, the German the government of the Nazi Party, mm-hmm. Rwanda, and everybody else, the government actually first took away everybody's guns, and then they came in and imposed their laws and everything and killing over 57 million people.
And that is why we have a Second Amendment in this country that allows the citizens of this country to bear arms. It's a bit of a check and a balance. And that's one of the major concerns that we see happening out there today. And we, let's face it, when Barack Obama was president of the United States, folks, you know this, because American Family Radio audiences are knowledgeable about these issues. Every time there was a shooting, President Barack Obama, the president at the time, said, I'm going to take advantage of these tragedies to push my anti-gun agenda. You know, these hundreds of thousands of kids that were marching in the streets on this past Sunday, they've all been told that guns are the problem. Because nobody wants to tell them the real truth. It's the heart problem. It's the hearts of individuals. There are people with evil hearts. You know, there were no kids in that march. I didn't see any signs. And other reporters that reported, I didn't see any signs in those marches that said, for instance, let's have armed guards in our schools. They don't believe protecting yourself is the solution. They actually do believe, take away the guns from people and we'll have a safer society. And as our caller from Michigan just said, history has shown us that is not a wise move. Hey, great to be with you today. The hour has gone by much too quickly. Much more great programming here at American Family Radio throughout the day. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Been a pleasure to be with you. God bless you and make it a good day. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.